getting you healthy, happy, and doing what you love. You're listening to Tonic Podcast, the podcast of Dr. Tanya Winchester. Dr. Tanya is a licensed naturopathic doctor, acupuncturist, body talk practitioner, and edutainer with a passion for helping reduce pain and suffering and bringing more love, joy, and health into your life and into the world. The natural medicines and therapies mentioned in this podcast are not intended as medical advice or as a substitute for seeking medical attention. For more information about Dr. Tanya Winchester, visit Dr. Tanya, T-O-N-I-A, Winchester.com. This is Farah, and I'm here with Dr. Tanya Winchester. In celebration of International Women's Day, we have been focusing on women's health. Our last podcast was on perimenopause, and today's podcast is learning all about the thyroid and its impact in optimum health.
Absolutely. Big one.
So where is the thyroid and what does it do?
Oh, where is it? It is in the neck. It is a butterfly-shaped gland in the neck. And what it does is our thyroid is our thermostat. So it is going to send out hormones that go to the cells and basically turn them on so that they create energy for us, help us heal, help us break down our food, help us with our cognitive function. Every single cell in the body is responsive, or should be responsive, to thyroid hormones. So this is the thing that just turns the whole system on.
Wow, it has very far-reaching effects, it sounds like.
Big time.
So what can go wrong with the thyroid?
Yeah, so the thyroid can either be overactive or underactive. And certainly in my practice, people with a hypo or under-functioning thyroid would be more common. And what happens here is that the thyroid gland is not producing enough of those hormones that are turning the cells on. And if every cell needs that hormone signal to turn on, we can see a number of different symptoms that are related to an underfunctioning or hypothyroid picture. So a big one, of course, is fatigue, not having enough energy. We can see constipation, dry skin. We can see muscle tension and pain. We can see hair falling out. We can see the eyebrows getting thinner. We can see, you know, and in some people we'll see sort of the opposite things, and that might be a hyperthyroid picture, but there's actually can be a lot of overlap between those two different extremes of how the thyroid is functioning.
Mm-hmm. So that's underfunctioning. What happens when the thyroid is functioning too much, and why would it do that?
Right. So in this case, think about we're just giving the system too much juice. So we're going to see often, going back to hypo, often people are cold or they have cold extremities, cold noses. They're the person who has, you know, their coat on inside all year, that kind of thing. So then moving over to hyperthyroidism, we're going to see often heat in the body. So it could look like, just extra body temperature, extra sweating. We might see diarrhea. We might see heart palpitations or anxiety. Whereas in hypo, we might see more of a depression type picture. And so, you know, the symptoms give us a good place as where, you know, where we might suspect the imbalances, but there can be overlap. You know, I've seen patients who are hypothyroidism with diarrhea and heart palpitations when we would typically associate those with the hyper. So, yeah.
And how do you know where the thyroid is functioning?
Yeah, so there's a few options. I was actually just this weekend at a conference where we were talking about lab diagnosis of thyroid issues. So how relevant? We can take blood tests. There are a few different blood test options. We can also do something called taking a basal body temperature, which is taking your temperature either first thing in the morning. That's what basal means, kind of baseline, where your temperature should be at its lowest. And that gives us a sense of what your sort of functional normal temperature is. Basically, a higher temperature would mean a more revved up thyroid. A lower temperature would be an under-functioning thyroid. So in terms of blood tests, the most common ones that your medical doctor would probably run is something called a TSH. That stands for thyroid stimulating hormone. And that comes out of a gland in the brain called the pituitary. And it goes to the thyroid gland, again, that's in the neck. And it stimulates the thyroid gland to release two different hormones called T4 and T3. So medical doctors run this TSH, and from that they can determine if they think further testing would be valuable. The TSH is a paradox hormone, so it's running the thermostat. So if you think of the thermostat in your house, if you say set it to 20 degrees, and if it gets too hot, your thermostat kicks in and brings it back down, or your air conditioning. If it gets too cold, your heat would kind of kick in to bring it back up to 20 degrees. So based on the amounts of the circulating hormones T3 and T4, TSH adjusts its level accordingly. So if the body is underproducing T3 and T4, the pituitary gland is going to get a signal that says we need to increase production. So TSH is released in higher amounts. So a higher number of your TSH means lower thyroid function. A lower TSH number means a higher thyroid function.
Mm-hmm. So it's that number that you're looking at to get an idea of how the thyroid is functioning.
Yeah, and you know, I learned a lot of nuances and details about this weekend, but to really kind of bring that home, that's the first step test. Some people, that might be normal for some people, but they still feel out of balance and they have symptoms indicating that the thyroid is an issue. Mm-hmm. So that's when we would pursue further testing, and that's something that would commonly happen in my office. They've got the TSH from the doctor, it's normal, but they don't feel well, and so we'll start to do some of that other testing. So T4 would be the next one, and T4 is a hormone that is released, like I say, from the thyroid. It goes to the liver and to other body tissues and gets converted to something called T3. T3 is the most active hormone in the body. It's the one that's really going to turn the cells on. So T4 would be the next step, and T3 would be sort of a step after that.
So blood testing is limited. It can be helpful, but it's limited. So what else is tested that shows up in terms of the measurement of the hormones?
Yeah, so in terms of the blood, I think that's the most standard. There are companies that will do hormone testing in urine, but then there's that other option of taking your temperature every day and looking at, are you normal? Are you functioning at a lower temperature? Are you functioning at a higher temperature? So that becomes an option as well for people.
And the basal body temperature, does it fluctuate at different times of the month? What looks normal in terms of basal body temperature?
Yeah, great question. So for women, if we take their menstrual cycle and divide it in half, so we have from menstruation to ovulation, and then from ovulation to menstruation, that first half of the cycle, your body temperature should be at a fairly stable place. And by the time we're hitting ovulation, there's something that happens hormonally that actually increases your body temperature. And so it might go up by a degree, maybe a degree and a half. And so we see this biphasic pattern in the temperature where it's, let's say you're sitting at 36 from menstruation to ovulation, and then we see that hormone surge which causes the temperature to go up. So now you're sitting at 37 until you start to menstruate and it would come back down.
Mm-hmm. So, and if you don't see that change, then you know something's not working right.
Correct. And so we would look at why the body is not having that proper hormonal response.
Mm-hmm. So testing is really helpful. You've mentioned the pituitary gland. I'd love to explore this a little bit more. What are there any things that can be done to support the functioning of the pituitary gland in particular?
Yeah, it's tiny in terms of anatomy, but big in terms of function in the body. It's not just releasing this TSH, it's releasing several other hormones that have an effect at other hormone glands in the body. So the pituitary is helping our ovaries function, it's helping our adrenals function, or telling them to start functioning. Also how our sort of water balance in the body is happening. A lot of stuff going on in the pituitary. So in terms of helping the pituitary, I think you know, all it's kind of all the same stuff. Like, we need to make sure that we're reducing stress. That will sort of rev up how the pituitary can be functioning. We need to be eating well. We need to be, you know, sleeping well, moving well. We talked a lot about all of these things on the last podcast, but anything that we can be doing for our whole body health will be helping the pituitary.
So you've talked a little bit about where the thyroid gland is, what it does, symptoms of an underactive or overactive thyroid, testing. What could be happening, say, at an emotional, mental level that might express itself as thyroid imbalance?
I love that you asked that question. And you said the word express. So if we look at the mind-body perspective, which is a lovely way to look at our health, I think, there is different energy centers at different parts of the body. Some people would call these chakras, so that comes out of Ayurvedic medicine. And these are basically just centers of hormonal production and energy at different parts of the body. So the one that hangs out in the neck is at the thyroid, is our fifth chakra. And it's all about, you know, if you think of what's there, that's our throat. That's how we speak. So from a mind-body perspective, this gland, when it's out of function, can be about how you're expressing yourself, or if you're not expressing yourself. Maybe you don't feel like you have a voice in certain situations. Maybe you're not willing to kind of speak up for yourself and stand up for conflict. Maybe there's creativity in you that you're not able to put out into the world because maybe you were told that that's not okay as you were growing up. So a lot of these different ways that we would express our true usness, or, you know, your you-ness, if they're being dampened, can affect how the thyroid is functioning.
Mm-hmm. Now, thinking back to the previous podcast where you mentioned in some cultures, they view the phase in life where women enter, say, their 50s as a second spring. This, and if there's something that's not functioning right in the thyroid, could that maybe indicate that there's something that is an invitation to change and to that can express itself in a different way?
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe that means that instead of, you know, not sharing how you are feeling about something, maybe there's disappointment or anger that you're not expressing. Maybe that means you need to kind of find the courage to release those feelings. You know, we're taught as young people to put our happy faces on, you know, don't cry, don't be upset, don't be mad. We're taught out of expressing our emotions. So unfortunately, as we grow older, we don't have the capacity, the tools, the mechanics to actually share our needs and emotions, and that can get very disease-causing in the body.
Mm-hmm. So emotional expression is a big part of healing in terms of thyroid gland.
Yeah.
And finding our voice.
100%, yeah. And your authentic voice, not what you think the world wants to hear or what they're telling you you should say, but your true thoughts and ideas. You should just start recording your own podcast.
So what are some other ways that you would recommend for people who feel that they haven't found their voice and they're looking for ways to have the confidence to express themselves?
I think finding one's voice starts with listening inside. So we come back to that idea of finding ways of being still and listening throughout your day. And you can ask your body questions and wait for a response. And sometimes that will, response will come in the form of a thought or words, and sometimes it will come in the form of a body sensation. But you could ask, like, is this, you know, do I want to stay in my job, as an example? And just wait and listen. And then the trickiest part about this is to heed what you hear, to trust and act on what you hear.
Not to deny or ignore.
Right, because that's the pathology that we're trying to heal from, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, that's a hard thing just in and of itself.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So anything else that you want to mention about the thyroid gland and the ways that we can support it?
Yeah, that's a great question. So one of the things that I did want to mention today is that there are certain foods that are called goitrogens. They produce a goiter in the body that are a good idea to avoid if there is a thyroid issue going on. And so a lot of those would be in, we call it the brassica family, and that's our broccolis and spinach and kale and cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, that whole family. The broccoli and the kale seem to be pretty safe to take cooked, but the other ones, cabbage would be another example. The other ones, you know, if you are suspecting a low thyroid or even a high thyroid picture that we would want to consider removing from the diet. Other ones that might be on that list would be walnuts, raspberries, soy can be a goitrogen if taken in too high quantities. So there's some certain dietary changes that we might make. Also, I like to include support for the thyroid in terms of certain herbs. And, you know, please, if you are considering any of these things, see your local naturopathic doctor about these choices. But one of my favorite herbs also coming out of Ayurvedic tradition is withania or ashwagandha. That's a lovely thyroid and adrenal actually supporting herb. And, you know, certain kelps can be used to support. I would also include certain building blocks. So iodine, you know, selenium, tyrosine, these are things that the thyroid will actually use to produce these hormones. So there's a lot of stuff that we can do. And in some cases, that stuff isn't enough. We might resort to prescribing a medication, in which case, you know, we're able to do that. And both conventional and sort of more alternative medicines, like a desiccated thyroid gland as an example, or compounded hormones of T4 and T3.
How do you know what is the best medicine for a particular patient?
I don't ever know, to be honest. I mean, everyone, it's a big experiment. My whole job is a big experiment. I have no qualms telling you that. Every person's going to react differently, but that's sort of the art of the medicine is, you know, if you look at studies, that's the science, and that's going to say, okay, 50% of people responded to this medication in this way for this condition. And so then what about the other 50% of people? Or, 80% of people didn't respond or had a negative response, but then what about the other? So we've talked about holism and that being one of the tenets of philosophies of naturopathic medicine. Individuality is another big piece. So we're looking at the human as an individual in the context of their environment. And so, you know, you can call it experience, you can call it intuition, I don't know, but I make my best choices as I see fit, and sometimes it works in our favor and sometimes we have to course correct. That's just the beauty of working with humans.
Well, it's been so interesting to learn about how important the thyroid gland is and the many things, the many impacts it has in all other parts of the body, and the things that we can do that are quite simple in terms of testing whether it's working and also to improve its functioning.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big player when it comes to people's health because it's such an integral component of how the whole body is functioning. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You've been listening to Tonic Podcast, the podcast of Dr. Tanya Winchester, getting you healthy, happy, and doing what you love. The natural medicines and therapies mentioned in this podcast are not intended as medical advice or as a substitute for seeking medical attention. For any health concern, it's always best to make an appointment to see a licensed medical practitioner. For more articles and blog posts, visit Dr. Tanya, T-O-N-I-A, Winchester.com, or visit us in beautiful Nanaimo, BC at Tonic Naturopathic Clinic. Have a delightful day.